Hi, everyone. Welcome to another installment of the Intersect 360 Research Podcast. I'm here with Mark Stickles, Executive Director of POSI, and we are currently at the ISC conference. Mark, good to hear from you. Good to see you.
Great to see you too, Kevin.
Right on. So we've just got some questions about your background. You know, you're a HALO member. We want to know a little bit more about you. And I'd like to start, you know, what inspired your journey to HPC? You have an arts background, and here you are, you know, leading POSI. How did that happen?
Well, it's an interesting background. I think perhaps a non-conventional background for someone in my role, leading a very advanced piece of national research infrastructure, advanced computing infrastructure. But I did start with an arts degree in literature, and then went on and did some other postgraduate studies in business and others. But I've worked for over 30 years in the research sector, in universities and national science organizations, and so I've been close to working with science and research. And over my time, I've worked in certain sectors, energy and resources, in agriculture and environment, and had roles that have increasingly saw me bringing talented people working on challenging scientific problems to work with industry and work with the support of governments to fund their work. And so over time I moved into sort of management, chief operating officer type of roles, but then an opportunity came where someone suggested I put my hand up for a sort of a CEO or executive director role, and I didn't actually get the job the first time I sort of made that transition from being an administrator manager to an executive. And but my little tip for people and was any interview, any opportunity you get, even if they don't work out, they can lead to something else. And so 6 months later, a similar type of CEO of a research center came up, and I tried again, and they were actually looking for someone not to tackle the big technical questions or problems of that organization, but to look at their key stakeholders, their strategy, their relationships with government, their purpose, and seek additional support for either renewing that organization or seeking funding. And I've been quite successful over the years of being able to sort of solve those problems. And whether it's been in agriculture and environment or in energy and resources. And so the opportunity to do that in supercomputing over the last almost 8 years now has been one I've really enjoyed. And I often say, when you work in expert organizations, I'm not the expert. I need to know to ask the right sort of questions, because I work with experts. And so identifying the right questions, identifying the sort of direction and the opportunities, that's perhaps something that I bring, rather than having all the answers, because we're an expert-rich environment. And when you come to something like ISC and you realize that you're part of this community of experts working with very leading-edge technology, having an inquiring sort of open mind and understanding the connections between things. I mean, the theme of this year's conference is connect the dots. And perhaps that's what I do. I connect our partners, I connect scientists to opportunities. We try and use the best resources that we can. And it's a really cool environment. There is a joke in my organisation, a standing joke, that they won't let me too close to the hardware. I have, in showing people around POSI, there was one point where I actually bumped into some very sensitive hardware and disturbed its operations. And it was actually, genuinely, it was some quantum computing hardware that we were pioneering with an Australian company. And the expression hip and shoulder, is it? And for those listening, because clearly this is not a video, I'm quite tall, so I'm almost 6'5". So I bounced into the hardware, and it registered at the lab, in the physics lab that was monitoring this equipment, some the other side of the country, and so yes, it's a bit of a joke. Don't leave me near the hardware, but let me understand. I advocate passionately for what we do. Advocate very passionately for the people that power us. You know, I talk about a lot about my job's to win hearts and minds, not to argue about the bits and bytes. Because we're doing really important work. I mean, this sector and community, from things to, you know, modelling our climate, understanding our changing climate. We do things in Pawsey where we're part of world-class radio astronomy infrastructures that effectively are like time machines. They look back into phenomena that we can sense using really sensitive equipment, very advanced computing, massive data processing to give you an image of something that happened moments after the Big Bang, and determine those sorts of things right then now, down to supporting medical related innovation that's working in areas of functional biology and anatomy that we could only dreamt of even a decade ago. So to have a job like leading teams of people that can work with this technology to unlock these sorts of problems, it's an absolute privilege.
Great. And first of all, I am also an English literature major, so there's dozens of us in the field. But you were also talking, you have a team of experts, you work with experts, and that's also what HALO is, right? Can you tell us a little bit about how you came about to HALO, what you get out of it, what you see it, its value being?
So HALO is a very positive initiative to bring leaders from across different aspects of this community, so from industry, from government, from the commercial sector, to have, if you like, transaction-free sort of conversations about what's important to our sector, because we all have an interest in solving some very important pressing matters for our own countries where we might be resident, or for increasingly for things happening beyond our country. Mm-hmm. So involving an organisation like HALO helps country level actors, and Pawsey has an allied centre we work closely with in Canberra, and there are some other HPC assets, but for us to be able to support the convening power of an organisation like HALO so that we get insights from other regions, industries and sectors is really quite powerful. It's only investment is time, and that's something that we can afford to invest in something as important as that. So I find that opportunity is great. So meeting with the advisory committee while we were here in person, which we don't get to do very often because of it is genuinely a beyond borders type of organisation, to sit with colleagues from the aerospace industry or from advanced manufacturing or from another national facility and just have a conversation about some of the things that are challenging and the things that are working and maybe not working. That's a priceless opportunity for someone in my role to be able to then go back to Australia and talk to my government, talk to my partners, engage with my colleagues about the things that are happening. So it's been a great platform to work with and support. It is, and if there are any of my HALO colleagues listening to this, it is a function of what you put in and what you get out. So I think it is active, and I think that's a positive thing that I'm seeing in all of the members so far. So.
Right. Yeah, it's a fantastic community. Free to join for anyone listening. But you're also a strong advocate for community outside of this inclusion, especially women in STEM and underrepresented groups. What motivates your commitment, but also what initiatives at Pawsey are you maybe most proud of?
It's an interesting. I'm pausing. I'm thinking about how to go about this because there's an anecdote that when I gave my first, industry talk, I think it was in August 2018. I'd only been in the job a few weeks, and I got up and said, "Hi, I'm Max Dickles." Didn't know a lot about the ins and outs of a supercomputer and what we were doing, but I kind of knew what we were there for and what was ahead of us. But I acknowledge that in our staff of 50 to 60 people, that there were more men named Mark than there were women. We had a lot of Marks working at Pawsey at the time. There were several Marks. It's obviously of a certain age and it's a popular name. But it was making a point about the need to diversify our workforce. Not just from an ethical and an equity point of view, but from a better business point of view. It's more diverse ideas, widen the expertise pool. All sorts of reasons to say that this is a better way to operate. And I've consistently had that view. I have certain privileges. I'm a tall, middle-aged white guy, so people assume I'm a computer scientist or an engineer. So they don't assume that I'm an arts graduate with an MBA and I've done other things. I acknowledge that privilege, but I also acknowledge that in senior roles that you can do things to change organisations. What I do makes a difference. And so that's something that I bring to what we do at Pawsey. And so over the recent years, we've looked at our recruitment processes. We've taken different approaches to try and not look at conventional recruitment, look at things to change the way you write your ads, look at where you set up your selection processes. We've broadened internship programs. We've recruited for potential and then trained for some of the skills that are needed. We've got colleagues that have come from bench research qualifications with an aptitude, but maybe not necessarily the specific skills. But 6 months later, they're doing fantastic works in domains that we are wanting to support. So it is something that I think we're not at 50-50, and we're more than three times the number now. I think 30, just a bit over 30%. We have, I think, almost 20 different nationalities at Pawsey, and so I think diversity is also not just a question of gender. It's also understanding in our workplace. We also have, I don't know if the expression's as common around neurodiversity, but different working style, different strengths of people. And so I think unlocking an organisational environment that can bring the best of oneself to work is what a leader should try and do. And I think that's something that I am pleased about. I think Pawsey's does a lot of work in training and education and outreach. And if we're seen as a good place to engage and to work with, then we also get better people wanting to come and work with us. But we also believe that that's helping to raise the bar for our sector. I think it's important to see more, and you can see it each year at ISC, that there is greater diversity, there is a greater representation of different cultures and genders and faiths, and I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned something that's very interesting to me in a separate topic. You said, yes, inclusion is good morally. It's something that we should be doing, but it's also good to just have different mindsets, different people. I have a similar question, containing the environmental arguments for sustainability versus, perhaps more logical ones, I think. The whole Save the Whales campaign or whatever, it's important, it's good to get people emotionally invested in this, but it's not the only way to talk about sustainability. There's increases in energy independence, that you can control costs by reducing exposure to global market fluctuations, right? So, how do you see these practical benefits of energy efficiency or, green energy shaping the way supercomputing centers like Pawsey approach their energy strategies? And, maybe how can this sort of like logic-based sustainability argument help us in the fight against climate change?
Lots to that question. That's a pausing moment for me to collect my thoughts. But we started the process of renewing our infrastructure when I started in 2018, 2019. And we have one of the selection criteria for the procurement process was energy efficiency. So we had to get tenders for systems that were addressing energy efficiency specifically. And we did so. We did well throughout that process. It was a challenging redevelopment through COVID, but we landed a system and a set of services that were highly energy efficient. And in our facility, we've been running for almost a decade a reuse of water, aquifer water that we take from the Perth aquifer and recharge through the system, cools the system and then recharge that water into the aquifer. We have solar panels. So there's physical aspects of our organisation that addresses this, and that's important. But we also spend, and I think this is an area that's greater efforts needed, is around optimization and accounting for use. I think the classical build us a bigger computer to give us more compute to solve my next big problem is the default, as rather than can we optimize our code, can we work in a more efficient way with the software. And that's something that we've done some work on, and we've had 60 to 70 times improvement just in energy efficiency by writing better code. So it's like I think that's an untapped metric. We don't do enough to say better code should be rewarded. So one of the things, like my colleagues developed, they did a paper a few years ago on an accounting model for Cetonix based on energy consumption. So we don't get given 50 million cycles to run your job. You get given 100 kilowatts. So all of a sudden, you know what you're using in terms of energy consumption. And some of the domains are aware of this. I think we want to be aware of what we're consuming, and it starts to change behaviors, and you measure what matters, that sort of thing. So measuring what matters is increasingly what we are looking at trying to do. And I think it goes to another general position I have, is around not taking for granted the social license we have to operate. I think the rise of big compute data centers at scale, hyperscalers, I think we can't take for granted that the energy consumption, the impact of our industry is just universally, perennially supported. So we need to understand the privilege that we have, the services that we offer, and not just talk about bits and bytes, but go back to hearts and minds. I think we rely a lot on, in my world, public funding for what we do. And if you're going to spend a couple hundred million dollars on a system, or a couple hundred million dollars to upgrade the wing of a hospital, government would say we need to do the hospital or not. But increasingly, I'd be saying, well, we also need to think about advanced computing environments, because our hospitals need are increasingly very data intensive. Now, many AI applications in hospital environments. We support remote operation, so remote monitoring, real time monitoring environments in hospitals now being supported by HPC. So the world's I've conflated two points there, but it is something that we do think about a lot at Pawsey, and I do think is important.
Great, yeah, and we just we're playing with a little quokka. Yeah, but that brings us to Cetonix, right? Very green machine. Anything you'd like to talk about there?
Yeah, look, we did rate highly when initially launched. We've called it Quokka. So Cetonix is the scientific name for quokka. So one of our precursor systems did sequence the genome. It's a uniquely Australian marsupial. If any of our listeners look up quokka, you'll see quokka selfies that go with it. So people visit the island off Perth called Rottnest, or in Noongar Wadjimup is the indigenous Australian name for the island. And they're very adorable, engaging marsupials, a little like the engaging, adorable team at Pawsey. I think we're trying to segue into that. No, it genuinely, my colleagues, I think we're not going to be the biggest system on the planet. That's not the way we operate. But if we can partner and do important, impactful science, whether it's 50 petaflops or 500 petaflops, that at the end of the day, if it's saving someone's life, or it's helping understand our environment, or if it's building safer processes for industry, those are the things that really, really matter. And we need to do a better job of demonstrating and sending that message. And I think that's something that HALO, I think, has in its mission, is to be a partner and to articulate the importance and impact of an industry that's increasingly at the heart of sort of economic prosperity, national security, human health and disease. I mean, these are all important things. And so talking about petaflops and exascale and so on, that's not the language that naturally comes to me. It's the former. And I think that's the one of the areas of advocacy and resourcing I can get through HALO.
Absolutely. And it's why we're all here at ISC. I mean, obviously this isn't your first ISC trip, right? Yeah. You know, is do you have any favorite memories from this current trip? Any cool things you saw so far?
I've enjoyed it. It's a great conference. I'm privileged to be on the steering committee and support one of the themes around the HPC in the Asia Pacific. Always trying to be active to support diversity in the program. So I gave the WHPC, Women HPC chapter update yesterday. I'm losing track of the days because we don't get to sleep very much. We have a large delegation here this year for various reasons. So I'm saying yes to everything. And the size and scale of the conference allows a really, there's a high bump factor here. You can't walk very far without seeing a colleague or someone that wants to connect. So it's been very enjoyable. But I do look forward to getting home. It's a long way to get home, so back into WA. But it's been a good conference so far. I might end on, given that you're a literary student as well, my quantum literary reference. I did my honours dissertation on James Joyce's Ulysses, an aspect of Joyce's work, and one of the things I discovered not so long ago that the quantum physicists were struggling what to call a fundamental quantum particle, so they turned to literature. So the quark is from a line, I think, from Finian's Wake, from Joyce's Finian's Wake, for three quarks for Master Mark is the line in Finian's Wake. So whoever, I apologise for not knowing the name of the physicist that named it, but I do know the name of the author that generated the word. So there's a literary point to end on and a quantum point to end on to reflect that we do sometimes get inspiration from our literary friends.
We absolutely do, yeah. That science and art are not as far apart as we like to think.
Well, I'll give Satonics to that. We've got some wonderful, when you see, if anyone looks at Satonics, it has some wonderful Indigenous artwork. So the First Nations artist is a Wadjuri Yamaji artist, and we have her artwork called Meteorites on our system. And it also reflects our connection to their country and the science that we support, which is several hundred kilometres away in the middle of Western Australia. And it's part of the global project around the Square Kilometre Array and some wonderful radio astronomy pathfinder projects that are leading to that as well. So really, really cool things that we support. And one of the reasons I like going to work every day.
Well, I like hearing about your work. Thanks so much for speaking with me, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin. All the best.